just ask that you will just come and be a welcome guest here, God. We thank you for all that you've been doing already, God. We just know that you are present. God, we feel you, and we just know that you are here with us, God. So we just ask that as the service continues, God, that your spirit will flow freely in this place, God, and that we will have receptive hearts to hear what you have to tell us today. We just thank you again in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just going to dismiss the kids. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we have a gathering over at Stand of Crystals today, Christmas supper, fellowship, and starts at 5. There's going to be some people here at 4:15 at the church site here. If you need a ride, so you're welcome to come. And we've got a couple turkeys, or three turkeys anyway, and some ham to eat, so we got lots of food. Amen? So everybody's welcome. And this will be our first, no, it's going to be actually our second time that we're there. The first one was our barbecue, but this one here is going to be a supper. So a good time of fellowship. Amen? Just other few announcements here. Citywide prayer this Thursday over here at the Hope Mission. I don't know how many of you know where that is. It's just 50. Jeez, I'm sorry. I just got too many voices here. So it's just over here, just a stone's throw over here. If you're where the old Bargains Treasure used to be, it's right in there. And so this coming Thursday, we're going to have prayer. We're going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then we're going to go throughout the day. This pastor, evangelist, Peter Abraham, a black man. I forget where he's from, but he's coming in from Calgary. He's not going to be the MC, but he has a real desire to pray for pastors. God has laid the city of Red Deer upon his heart for the pastors of this city. So if you know some pastors, encourage them to come. This man wants to pray over them. Amen? And he just feels that the pastors in this city are under immense attack from the enemy, okay? So let's gather for the 17th, and then we'll go throughout the day. It's their grand opening of Hope Mission. Exciting things are happening there. And boy, I tell you, more things are coming. Amen? More things. Amen. And then at 7 o'clock that night, we're going to have Lift Up Red Deer as well. Amen? And we're going to pray and intercede. And Scott Tilbury from Shine FM is going to be the MC there. He's going to be leading us in what to pray for. So, and I'll tell you, if we don't pray, this city is not going to change. It is not going to change. You can get our mayor in there. She's a Christian lady. But just that alone is not, you know, it's not going to do it. Amen? It's the prayers and intercessions of the saints of the Most High God. That's what's going to make a difference in this city. Amen? So I encourage you guys all to come. So we'll start there at 10, and prayer service that evening will start at 7 to 9, okay? The Lord has laid upon my heart to do some praying in the beginning of January, the first week in January. We're going to be doing prayer and fasting here for that whole week, okay? So come, and we'll be here from 7 o'clock on till 9 o'clock. If we're going to see what God has in store for Potter's hands, we're going to have to call it forth in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to have to bind the powers of darkness. The powers of darkness are allied together to stop the work of God in any church, not just Potter's, every church in this city. Amen? But we, who are the children of the Most High God, have the authority and the mandate to pray and to call forth the plans of God. Amen? For the city and for Potter's Hands Ministry. So that's what we'll be doing here, okay, for that week. I just sense that. We're going to see a breakthrough in 2016 in Potter's hands. Hallelujah. This is the time to come. Prayer and fasting. If you can fast, fine. Ask the Lord. You know, if you can fast one meal, great. Amen? Just one meal. If that's all you can do, that's fine. But we'll be doing that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, before we bring Mick up, we're going to ask Cheryl to come up. Give her an announcement for her up-and-coming training of... Prophecy. Yes, there it is. I knew it was in there. It was just back in the recesses.
Thank you. We're going to be starting training for the prophetic ministry in January. So what I'd like you to do is come and see me after service or see me at the party tonight or see me next Sunday, because I'd like to start talking to you. And then what we're going to do is get a number before the end of December so that we can order our materials, because there's two books. I've already got the curriculum, and it's wonderful. The training is wonderful. It's called the Prophetic 101 from Bethel Reading Church, and it's wonderful. So see me. I want to get your name, your number. I want to just to get to know you before we start this, because God changed the plans. You know, man makes plans. They're not sometimes not the same as God's. We were going to, you know, have an introduction in January. God said, no, get to work. Get to work now, because, you know, we're just wasting time. Okay? Bless you.
Amen. I don't usually do this, and I don't think Stan does this a lot either, but I just like to recognize Tanya Swift from Native Friendship Center and Norbert. I just, you know, Norbert here has been battling cancer, and I've been praying for this brother over the last six months, eh? Anyway, Norbert, in case you didn't know, we grew up in the same city. City population 75. So we grew up there together, Norbert, and in a little place called Victoire, Saskatchewan. Ever heard of it? It was an awesome city. Just kidding. But anyway, just want to recognize her. And just pray for her. If you're going to pray for the Friendship Center, this is the lady. Pray for her, because she's the head over there. So we just, hey, Cheryl, or Tanya. Tanya, why don't you step? There you go. Tanya, sure. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we got an awesome brother that's going to come up here. He's going to give his testimony, and he's going to share. Amen. The power of the living God. Amen. We're all ensnared by the enemy, every last one of us. And we got a powerful testimony. Mick here has a powerful testimony too. So he's going to share what God has done in his heart and life. Just want to say a prayer over you right now, Mick. Lord God, I just pray for Mick, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus, that you rescue us, Lord God, from the demise of our sins, Lord God, our wicked ways, Lord God, and you call us out, Lord God, and you give us the strength, Lord God, to turn from our wicked ways, oh God. So help us to hear what you have to say through our brother Mick this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. This is more of a repentance, and it's going to be a testimony. I think I need to sit down because fear I'll get struck down or fall down. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you want to talk to the Lord, it's a good place to be. So I'm in your house, Jesus, and I'm going to bring this to you. My plate is full of sin. I'm guilty of drunkenness. I've stolen money this year to buy drugs, even though I admitted to it, and I'm paying retribution. I still stole. Lord, I'm very quick to anger. I'm guilty of gossip and finger pointing. Oh, there's so many things, and it's hard for me to come to me, Lord, as I speak to you, because this is for your ears, and I'm speaking to you, and the rest of you people are invited to hear it. Jesus, I have a log. I don't know if there's a log in my eye, but there's certainly lust in my eye, and you're welcome to pluck it out of there. I'm going to continue to point my finger, but I'm going to point it towards you, and therefore point it at me. I also want to say that, speaking of gossip, Many people have asked me what's going on within the church and things that have happened since there's been changes. And I only have speculation, therefore, I'm not going to answer that anymore if it's asked to me, because that will just turn to gossip and finger-pointing again. So, Jesus, I want to pray for Naomi, because she wants to move on in life, and she wants to get her own place, and she's trying very hard. And last night she fell down. She laid there, she hurt herself. So, just because she's trying so hard. And I left a rug in the bathroom, of course, that's my fault. Pray for her, Lord, that she has the strength and she makes it and she's able to do that. Jesus, I just want your mercy. And I want your forgiveness. These are the sins that I put before you. There's probably more, but let's just start, leave it there. We wipe those off my plate. Clean my plate for me, Jesus. I really don't have much more to say. I just came up here to repent, and I just want to. There's just an old saying that there is no such thing as a bad boy. There's just boys with bad haircuts. Jesus, I need a haircut. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ah, God, I just thank you for my brother Mick. God, we are all the same way. We're all the same way. We're all prone to sin, Lord God. But you come along and you rescue us, Lord God, in spite of us, Lord God. And how can you use sinful men to glorify you, Lord God? It just is amazing, Lord God. So we stand before you broken. But Lord God, we thank you for your shed blood. And thank you for rescuing Mick, rescuing every one of us here, Lord God, from our sinful ways, Lord God. God, that you'll walk with my brother. You'll overshadow him and you'll give him the strength to be obedient to you. And let the word of God become a lamp and a light unto his path, Lord God. That's where we garner our strength, Lord God, is in your word, Lord God. Revelation knowledge. So we just pray for our brother and put him on our hearts throughout this week, Lord God. Put him on our hearts for this coming years, Lord God, to pray for this brother. There's many brothers, Lord God, that want to live holy lives. But Lord God, there's things in the way. But Lord God, hallelujah. When we pray, things happen. So I just thank you for Mick and thank you for his sharing time this morning in Jesus' name.
Jesus. John 3:16 says that whomever shall believeth in you shall not perish but have everlasting life. I believe in you, therefore I am a Christian. Albeit I'm not the best example of what a Christian should be, but we're working on it, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I guess we can all say that. Amen? Every last one of us. Boys, oh boys, if you run across a perfect Christian, just one, run. There's no such thing. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to invite our brother up, Jerry Hunt. He's going to come and give us the word here this morning. Amen? Oh, okay. Cain.
I'm very thankful for what I do have. And she's out to get a stool. This is seniors discount. So I'm glad they have that. Years and years ago, they didn't have bar stools. You had to get knocked out of your chair. And I'm happy that they didn't have these because it's a longer way to fall. Just like when you fall into the Satan's trap.
Is this the chair you want to use, or would you want to use another chair?
I don't know which one is.
This one's higher to fall down.
Well,
that one's a little bit shorter.
That one's a little less. Let's take a, maybe use some godly wisdom. Some godly wisdom, my friend. And I thank you so much. Don't a lot of you guys wish you were getting old?
Getting closer to heaven. Amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Not only getting old, but if you're growing older in Christ, you know where it's at. And if you followed him for many years, you got lots to look forward to. Besides the creaks, the groans, the moans, and every little itch and crease known to man and science, you'll get them, but God will see you through it. He's seen Gladys and I through a lot with our health, and we've been able to stand together for, 52. How many years, Gladys? Many. Yeah. I'm sure blessed with Gladys for all these years. She stuck with me through a time when I was still in my stupid stage, actually sin, living as a wild and woolly drunk with among the rednecks and assorted others. Tanya, they didn't say you were from Athabasca. We never got a round of applause for Athabasca. Beautiful place in the summer. And good fishing up the road at Collin Lake. Now, look at that for a pile of posty notes. But that's posty notes from God's word. It isn't mine. And when I was asked to speak, I thought, well, Lord, like usual, here I am. What am I going to say? And he brought some things to my mind and to my heart. And this is the month, December, that Christians celebrate. I only got my top teeth in, so listen carefully. You ladies and gents in the front row there, if they fly, grab them. So what came to mind was peace. The Christians celebrate the birth of Christ. Wonderful celebration. And the secular world, unfortunately, celebrates the idols of self, of pride and greed and shop till you drop. Well, if you go in Wally World at a busy time, and I'm not knocking Wally World, you might drop whether you want to or not. So my observations right here in beautiful downtown Red Deer is that getting and spending and people hurry, 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 and worry, worry, worry. That's kind of poetic, isn't it? They're stressed, they're angry, and they're depressed. So I thought of John Milton's poem, A Christian Poet. He said that part of it was getting and spending, we lay waste our power. So if that's what we're doing at Christmas time, we laid waste the power God gave us by going through all that stuff. And thankfully, there is hope. You'll grow out of it. You'll grow out of it. And when you got all these kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, your wallet will grow out of it. That'll be the first bit of sense that you get. But I listened to a lot of people and talked to a lot of people, and they complain. And they have no peace. That's most of, in fact, just about all of it, no peace. And it can come up in just conversation and being empathetic to their situation. And common question is this, are you ready for Christmas? Well, I tell you, the world wasn't ready for Christmas. Our good friends, the Jews, heard, and I'm going to read from the scripture what they heard. They heard the news. So neither Jew nor Gentile was heard, but a bunch of sheep herders, a little Jewish girl Mary and her man Joseph, three wise guys wherever they came from, nobody's sure, but they knew, and that was about it. That was it. But now, we should know and understand this peace. Because those of us who know Christ will know peace. And first of all, I'm just going to read the promise from Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So when Christ comes back and he's here, there will be never-ending peace. And he promises that. He promises that there's going to be peace when he comes. So Isaiah told of his coming. That's the only one out of many in the Old Testament. That's the one that I got from as I prayed. And now turning to the post-it notes and God's Word, we have Luke. That's where the promise was fulfilled. That's where those shepherds heard the news. And this is from Luke 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Just like Nick said, God came for the world, all people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all men on whom his favor rests." And we want his favor. I'll get to that a little later on, but it's well worth it. For me, personally, Christmas has always been important. Now, I'm going back 70 years to when I was about 6. But it was very important. And it was a rewarding and a joyful time. And my life growing up with my family, of love in my family, the church, the community. Oh, yeah, and there was a bonus in all that peace and joy and love, the food. And then, for a small varmint, there was the toys. So there was more than just that. But I did understand the toys, and I did understand Jesus was born in a manger. We didn't have any TV, and we had radio when my dad could afford the batteries. And if you're thinking of batteries, those little dinky ones, that ain't true, because the batteries are about this big, and they'd turn a tractor over. But we sometimes heard Bible stories on the radio. And the best of the best, though, we had were Bible stories read to us in church by our Sunday school teachers. And so we heard these stories. We did. Not necessarily understanding them, but, you know, you could imagine them. And in a young person's imagination, they appeared to be very, very true. They were true. Because we did have the best. And it was a very big deal at that time to get to go to church and hear those stories. Let your imagination flow. It still is today to hear this story, this one coming. It's as clear now as it was 70 years ago. There was a time of non-clarity, but this stuck with me. So what about this peace? What are we going to do with it? How do we get it? And God made a way. He provided peace for all of us. He provided peace when he sent his son. And to be our Lord and Savior. So, what now then? The son came. The son died for our sins. And what now? Well, it is relatively simple, if you believe. It's not rocket scientists. It's simply believe who Christ is. Confess, as we saw this morning by a brother, strong in the Lord to confess right here in front of everybody, repent of our sins, and say, Jesus, come into my life. Come in and be Lord of my life. Because the Jerry Hunt Show isn't up to very much. In fact, it's nothing without Christ. It wasn't a minor disaster for about 18 years. It was major. So I know that to be true. And then you can, when you invite him in, know and understand and feel his peace. Many of you have done that. There's a lot here in this group this morning that have. For those who haven't, Jesus is still waiting. He's waiting and he's patient. He's patiently waiting. He doesn't tap his feet and say, well, I'm waiting. No, he's waiting. Waits patiently for those to come. And he has love waiting for you, and he has peace waiting for you, and he's waiting with open arms. Page 2 of 35, I hope you're relaxed and comfortable. So now you believe. And this is pretty simple, too. Grab a hold of a Bible. Get some somewhere. There are Bibles around waiting for you. And depending on your eyesight, you can get them in little print, big print. And for some of us, they got to be fairly huge, even with your bifocals. And attend a church that teaches and preaches the Bible's truth. Read that Bible, study it, and ask the Holy Spirit, seek him to show you what it means, reveal the truth to you. And there's abundance and abundance of God's peace mentioned in the scriptures, both old, but I was led to these ones in the New Testament, and they came from Paul and the rest of the apostles to the world and to the church. Peace will amaze you and, more important, bless you and those around you. And I just about had a little hairy there. I cracked the Bible for the concordance on peace. Never ending. There must be others out there preaching the same thing. No shortage of topics on peace led by the Holy Spirit. And I have a few of those this morning to present that I was given as I prayed. And John 14, verse 27. Now, Jesus is about to leave the disciples, but he gives them this encouragement. Peace I leave with you, my peace I will give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, nor don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Easy to be afraid in this world, isn't it? It is easy to be afraid and have our hearts troubled. But Jesus said, don't have to. I'm leaving this peace with you. Again, in John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble. Who didn't have any trouble this week? Okay, good enough. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we have that peace given by Christ, and he's overcome it. He's overcome it, which makes us overcomers, doesn't it? Coolness. And now, you can, Ephesians 2, that's where I'm at. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you, me, who once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For who? For he himself is our peace. So if we have Christ, we have peace. He's our peace. And he just said it to the lot that I read. So it's funny now that we can start right into that, of taking that peace to our homes, to our friends, to where we work, and we can build on it right here in this fellowship. We can build on it here. And that's what we're called to do, is build on it here and then take it out there to wherever God sends us with it. You'd be surprised once you start talking peace to people. Some will give you the old thumb the nose, but others will say, yeah, tell me something about that. Where did that come from? Grandma Gladys had that very, very interesting experience. We had a granddaughter coming over here from Stettler to college, and she had 2 hours to wait, so she stayed and visited with us. Grandma knit, we read the Bible, and we prayed together. And sometimes later, Grandma went to stay in Stettler, and Rianne said, Grandma, I want what you and Grandpa got. And Grandma said, what's that? And she said, peace, you're not always in a turmoil and things are upside down. Grandma explained to her how she could have that peace the same way I'm explaining here from this very book. And she accepted Christ in her life and in her heart, and a change indeed. Of the granddaughters, you can tell who's got it. We got two who got it, some who are creeping around the edges, but she's got it. And we're praying that those who are creeping around the edges will jump in. Yeah, jump in. And if it's going to be water, we'll wait till summer. All the stuff that troubles us and worries us in any area of life, I found this here from Philippians. God quotes it and prays it quite often, either when she's with people or when she's alone or at home. This is from Philippians 4:4-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to who? To God. You don't have to go running all over the neighborhood and saying, oh, woe and grief and horror. They're waiting for you to leave. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding, will guard what? Your heart, because he's in your heart, and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because the enemy comes around and taps at your old head and said, nah, that won't work. That won't do. That ain't no good. You are really dense. But we know better, because Christ is going to guard our heart and guard our mind. And we'll be at peace with that. I don't ever bother arguing. I just thought not so long ago, yeah, I've been called dizzy and bubble off level. Well, now I have this vertigo, so it's true. I'm dizzy, my bubble's off level. But my heart's on the level. My heart's on the level for sure. And God will give you that peace. So now what? What are you going to do? We got these heaps and heaps of peace. And it is true and it is deep. One daughter who understands, she's working in an old folks' home. She told me she's getting things ready when I show up. She said, I'll change your little nappies there. I said, I hope I die at home in bed before you get to me. She has a good heart. And she knows Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. So what are we supposed to do with it now? Well, we're supposed to go out with it. Go. Preach the gospel. And I got this one from Peter. And this is for us in the body, but it's for us as individuals, wherever we are. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. How about that? No more fights, kids. So, be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. Man, I got scars on the inside of my mouth and my tongue. And his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. And here's the kicker. He must seek peace. Go after it and pursue. It doesn't say seek. You go. You run. Pursue it. chase it down the road, then make sure you get it. Make sure you're preaching peace. Getting close to the end, folks. Haven't seen anybody nod off yet. Annie, I hope you didn't go. I told her if she fell asleep, I was going to come and swat her with my cane. So now, people will see this. Like, granddaughter saw peace. Peace in our place. It was the only day we didn't have a fist fight. But anyway, she saw peace. And peace means we'll bear fruit. We'll bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is a gift from God through Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And if you've got peace, you'll have patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So, you know, this life of peace is worth living, isn't it? Anybody disagreeing? Remember, I have the cane. And you know, the world watches us closely. They watch closely. Flaky Christians. And we're full of hypocrites and liars and everything else. Very closely. Seeking answers. A lot of people watch the church because they want something. But there's a lot of critics out there by the ton. Experienced it in my own family. Raised in traditional church and then leaped into this evangelical whoopee man. Terrific. Terrific. But my poor old mother, and God rest her soul, she had a fit. But she got over it. She got over it. And so one time I asked her, you know, she'd been raised up, taught, knew the word of God, knew the truth through a traditional church. In fact, a couple of them. And I said, Mom, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Now, she's a feisty old sweetheart. And she said, of course I do, you stupid ass. So, that certainly put my mind at ease. So the stupid ass accepted that and was glad. And in later years, I knew that to be true. And you know, I prayed with a friend for wisdom, in fact, two of them this week. And this comes from James 3:17-18. But the wisdom and that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Peace-loving. So if you're praying for wisdom and saying, I need wise to get even with him, or I need wise to smarten that jerk up, it's going to happen. It won't be pure. Then peace-loving. Peace-loving. Considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, isn't that tremendous? A harvest of righteousness. It'll come. Just bless my wretched old hide. So, we're now living that as a church. We're going to do that, aren't we? Yes, we are. I answered for you. Let you and I live this truth. And we can start when? We can start today. We can live here having God's peace, knowing God's peace, and be willing to do something about it. And I had one more here. Everybody can breathe out now. And we're going out into the community. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You've been called by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You received that calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Not a human quality, is it? It can only be possible through Christ. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the bond of what? Of peace. And we must be willing to do that. That's obedience if we're going to do that. So, let you and I live this truth today. We're going to start today, aren't we? Yes, we are. Again, I answer for you. And let this message of peace begin right here today with us. Thank you for your time. And thank you for the soft chair, Elvin.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just going to pray for you, Jerry, before you leave. Is that okay? Oh, Lord God, we just thank you for Jerry and Gladys. And thank you for them being a pillar, pillars, Lord God, in our sanctuary, Lord God, this place, Lord God, in Potter's hands. Thank you for the prayers that they send up daily, weekly, Lord God, on our behalf, Lord God. It's why we were able to stand through all adversity, Lord God, because of the prayers of the saints. So God, I just pray for Jerry, Lord God, that you'll be with him and Gladys, and that this Christmas will just be an awesome Christmas, Lord God, because of your grace and your mercy towards them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, eh? Hallelujah. Well, we got a few minutes, so. Yes, we do. Love Jerry and Gladys. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we got some time to spare here. It's not 10 to 12 or anything, so why don't we get some testimonies about, say a Christmas that really stands out in your life, you know? So we'll get a few testimonies happening here. There's one over here. Mr. Gord Butterfly.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, everybody. One Christmas that stood out for me, there was only two, but there's one that's most recent in the last 10 years, and that one was... not too long ago, when I got baptized in the river on September 5th, 2006, I believe. But 2007, or that Christmas, I went and watched Mary, my friend then, in the Singing Christmas Tree at the Deer Park Alliance Church. I went and watched her four times. I liked the show that much. It was one of the lights that I really liked in the tree. So the following year, needless to say, I joined that Singing Christmas Tree, and I joined the choir, and I sang with her in the choir, and I actually gave a testimony. The conductor wanted a real testimony in regards to a live performance. So they approached me and asked me if I'd like to do that. First, they said 5 minutes. Then it was like, oh, that's a long time, 5 minutes up there. So then all of a sudden, 3 minutes. So, okay, 3 minutes, I can do 3 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes, and all of a sudden, okay, you get about a minute and a half. I'm like, okay. I had a lot to say, but anyhow. Regardless to say, on the glory to God, honest, this is God's power. So many people in Central Alberta have gotten to know me throughout the years, and my family on the reservations and stuff like that. And the thing about it is, there was this guy in the audience from CTV. I think his name was Scott Smith, but he came and approached me and approached the conductor and said, can we get this on film? I really like this man's testimony. And I talked about being delivered from meth and crack and being an alcoholic and, you know, all my sinful past, right? To which I sat down with him, and he asked me some questions. And sure enough, I think it was the following Thursday, it was on TV. And the Lord had glorified his son through me on TV, and there was people on the reservations that were my families that had seen it. There's Gordy. Wow. And then he phoned up, is that you? Was that really you? Serious? Wow, you gave your life to Jesus? Somewhere froze over. So, needless to say, that's just part of the story. Now, this is the end of the story. Now, my wife was in it the year before. I was in it then the following year. I gave him my testimony, and I sang. And then all of a sudden, guess what? We were married by the next year. And then little Brooklyn, my little darling, she's 7 years old now, she played little baby Jesus. So 3 generations, you know, from Mary to me, and then all of a sudden Brooklyn was about 3 months old or 2.5 months old, and they needed a baby Jesus, eh? Can we use your baby? Oh, yeah, sir. Here you go. So, you know, I was standing in the back the following year. We weren't in it, but our daughter was. And I have to admit, I teared up. My little girl, she was only 2.5 months, you know, got to have that moment as she's walking down. They're holding her, and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, got tears up. And so I guess that's three Christmases, to tell you the truth, but it's one story in all. And so to glorify God, God has done a lot of things in our lives. And and one of the things that I know is that I live in grace today. You know, certainly I should not go on sinning, that I live in grace, but always to remember that I live in grace. And never to forget that I live in grace. That's why Jesus had died on the cross for me and shed his blood over me. And I repent of that. So therefore, when I live in grace, I know that he's forgiven me. I don't have to condemn myself, you know. And so I thank him for his forgiveness. And I thank you for this opportunity to give a testimony about one of the three of the most wonderful times of my life. Thanks.
Amen. Wow.
You know that Christmas is showing the love of God too. And when I was separated from my family and didn't have a place to go, and somebody told me that when sometimes you are in trouble, one of the best thing to do is to go and work at a soup kitchen, and that you will see sometimes people who are in worse situation than you. And that Christmas, I didn't know where to go, and they were actually going to celebrate Christmas at the soup kitchen. And a lot of the people who were working actually at the soup kitchen decided to get together and do something. And God said, what we do for the least of them, we are doing it for him. And what was really awesome is to see, you know, God wants us to use all our ability and all our talent for his glory. And we have some people who got their turkey, and some cooked those turkey, and some were serving them. And we had some people who were taking care of the coffee, and we have some people who came from different church to sing, and they say we'll be here for 2 hours, and when they would go, another group would come. And if we were run out of turkey, somebody will come with a brand new one cook already to put there. And you know, it's how, if you want to see how God is real, go to a soup kitchen and see everything taken care of. It's impossible not to know that there is not a God when you see everything fall into place. And something wonderful, somebody went out and got a lot of clothes, winter clothes for our friend. And they were playing different game, and the winner will toss a dice at the end. And if I remember, the one fellow tossed 6, and he said, you can pick 6 gifts. And he picked some brand new winter boots and pants and jacket and a hat and scarf and a glove. And it was so beautiful that when the least of them left, they were better dressed than us. That is showing the love of God. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Someone else. Hallelujah.
This has nothing to do with Christmas or a happy Christmas, because I have yet to see one. On my way here today, I was getting mad at God. I was saying, Papa, you said I'm a new creation. Why do I have to go back in the past? All these years since I went to social work school, so much crap of the past has been opened up, and then everybody is saying, well, that's the past, leave it in the past, but then how come I have to go back? I mean, I'm mad at him because he made... I was at a hearing this past week, residential school, and that was very hard to share my story. And and I'm mad at God because he said I'm a new creation, and how come I have to go back? I mean, this hurts so darn much. I just want to give up. I know that he says I'm a new creation, I'm forgiven, and all this other stuff. So why does he want me to go back there and relive the crap that I went through? And Joyce Meyer's book, Beauty for Ashes, that says that I have to walk through those open doors of pain and then shut them behind me. And to tell you the truth, I don't trust people anymore. That's why I'm not coming to church or going to meetings and stuff, because I've been wounded already trying to fit in with other people, and I don't fit in. I hated myself for being Aboriginal, and then God made me Aboriginal, so I have to find some way to love myself as an Indian. Or he's got to show me a way to love myself as an Indian. And to love myself as a woman. I just want to run away. There's people coming around me here. So everybody that says I'm going through self-pity and all this stuff, well, let me go through it, because nobody pitied me before. Nobody took, I mean, Jesus was there, yeah, but nobody else. Nobody came and said, oh, it's okay, baby Jane, or and all this other stuff. Nobody. I went through it alone. I suffered alone, and I'm still suffering alone. I prefer it that way, because I don't want to pretend and come to church and act as if, hi, how are you, and put on my Sunday face, you know, and then go back home and be a bitch all over again, sorry for swearing. But that's how I think I am sometimes, because I smoke pot to hide the pain, because it's so hurtful. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just that this is what I'm going through, and then I'm just standing on God's word that he said I'm a new creation. He said that, and why don't I feel like it? But I've just got to go through. And then to rely on him, then it says iron sharpens iron, encourage one another, lift one another up. And then to get the peace that Jerry talked about, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And how do I get it? I have to receive it. I don't know how to receive. I just know how to take. I've been used, so I use. And now I don't know how to receive. I don't know how to ask for something.
How you're going to get peace? By forgiving.
I've done that. I've done that in my head and everything.
God says you need to forgive yourself. It's you that you need to forgive. It's you. I've been through things too. And if you don't forgive yourself, you're not going to move on. Yes, you're right. Right now you feel
freaking emotions. Freaking emotions.
Yep. And you know what? Sometimes when we walk in the flesh, that's what we have, emotions. But if we walk in the spirit, we have peace.
Only on Sunday? And then when I came in here today, I heard Mick talk about judging and stuff like that. Like, we do that. We do go judging around each other, and I'm sorry for me judging people. I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. While I was looking outward at others, it was the stuff that I seen in others that was in me.
Well,
Thank you, Lord. So, if you don't have a prayer request, here's one. Amen? Okay. Annabelle.
My best Christmas was December 25th, 2011, because I got to celebrate it with Christ for the first time in my life. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we'll get the worship team back. Get them back up there. And hallelujah. Get them up. And as they're coming up, I just sensed earlier, just want to pray a prayer of healing. Physical healing. So if you have prayed with some people already once this morning, but if you have a physical ailment, you have something that's physically wrong with you, I just want you to put your hand on it, wherever that is, if you can. Put your hand on it right now, okay? Before the band, worship team comes up here. I'm going to pray for that. Then I'm going to close. For those that want more prayer, you're invited to come up more. I'm going to release you to go. If you choose to stay, that's fine, that's great, okay? But right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, the name above all names, is greater than any emotional damage, any physical damage that can be weighing on our hearts and on our bodies. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask for healing, hallelujah, from physical, from emotional trauma right now, in Jesus' mighty name. The name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, is above cancer. It's above every other name. Jesus Christ, that name. And every thing has to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. It does not matter. That name is above all names. I don't care what you're experiencing. If you're experiencing panic attacks, fear, all kinds. Jesus Christ, the name above all names. I rebuke all those things right now in Jesus' mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we thank you now. We thank you right now for that healing right now. We thank you for that healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. By faith, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your stripes, Lord God, that by your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. So we're able to walk in health and wholeness in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I just want to pray. If you need more prayer, I just want to dismiss you folks. The worship team's going to take over. Lord God, as we go throughout this week, that you will walk with each of us. Lord God, that peace that Jerry talks about, it's available to whosoever. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Walk with my brothers. Walk with my sisters throughout this week. Lord God, that nothing, Lord God, no weapon formed against them shall prosper in Jesus' mighty name. Let us experience that peace, Lord God, as we call upon your name. Your name is greater than all sins that I've committed. Any sin that I've committed, your name is above that. Hallelujah. And so I just release your peace upon my brothers here right now as they go their separate ways, Lord God. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory.